That's true. What was the downfall? Oh,
it's just small.
And we don't have the food court. That's what it is.
We all want food.
Yeah, that's really why we're going.
There's coffee right by the ice skating rink across the
street.
People that don't
skate. All right, guys, we're here. What's up, Jordan? Hey, guys, listen up. I can hear Jordan, please.
That diesel teacher that I've been witnessing to, he emailed me earlier today, like, about some things. He said he was to talk to me about some things.
So dang. All right. Hey, put that down for Jordan. Praise the Lord, man. That boy got an open door. See, that's the cool thing about it. You don't have to be, like, super outspoken or outgoing. Just be open. Mm-hmm. Be like, Lord, I'm willing. What do you want me to do? Go and have a conversation with this dude, and then just be honest with me, ask me about something, I'll do it. So, I love that, Jordan, because most people think, well, you got to have a big mouth like Zach or like somebody else in here that wears a green sweatshirt with glasses on, something like that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, Brett, no, but, you know what I mean? You don't have to be outspoken like that. Like, dude, no, my mom used to always tell me that. It sounds gross. She used to tell me, like, I had diarrhea of the mouth. Okay, so.
It's just called word vomit.
Word vomit. Now, okay, that sounds better. My mom would definitely say diarrhea of the mouth. So maybe she was, like, hitting that, like, a breath stump too or something like that. I don't know, dude. But, praise the Lord, Jordan. That's awesome, dude. Good stuff. So put that on your prayer list. Yes. You can have the last word. Go ahead. I know you need it.
So I talked with Thomas. What was it?
The train?
The last time.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. This isn't going to work if we keep doing this. I'm going to respect you when you talk. And
no,
you go ahead.
I didn't know what you said.
It doesn't even matter. Go ahead.
The train. That's fine. I didn't know what you said first. I had to render it. He wants to start. I know, the computer. I'm becoming the computer. It's fine. Thomas wants to start coming to church.
Thomas is the kid that you rode home with, and you start witnessing to him, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And then my eighth hour teacher, Miss McHugh, she's my artificial drawing teacher. She
artificial drawing.
Observation. I told her I was going to church, and she's like, "Pray for me. I want to start going back to church." So
praise the Lord, dude. Simple witnesses, guys. Praise the Lord.
Unfortunately,
man.
She's Catholic, but it's fine. I was like,
tell her
like,
we don't accept her kind.
I'm saying
in that case, but don't go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where I stand. I love everybody, but some like let's give an example. If somebody's gay, like I still love you, but I don't respect your belief. If that makes any sense, like, you're still like a human being, but I mean that's something you gotta work with. It. That's like Mr. Kuhn. Like I still respect her as my teacher and stuff, but I respect her as a human being. Maybe I don't believe that. Her beliefs is that she's Catholic, but you know, I still respect her as a
That's good, man.
Witness to everybody, man. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's who Jesus Christ came for.
You
know, like the Bible said.
What did the Bible say?
We're sin abound it, grace and abound much more. There we go.
You're really funny, Drake.
I know.
He told me I need to witness to all the people, and I said, that's a lot of people. He goes, what was it you said?
I said, you can talk a lot, so
you
can
drink. Oh.
Hey, that's karma for Ethan.
That was karma for Ethan. All right, yeah. Ethan's working with Drake. All right, stand on your feet. Grab your hymnal. Let's get rolling here. Please don't. Yeah, don't lie either.
Maybe it's a bad thing on back.
No, it's not, dude. It's very good. We were very happy with you being back.
Always. It's really been that bad.
Bryson, it's been horrible without you up here. All right.
Because I'm not here. It's just...
Let's do this, Bryson. Let's give you a final swan song. Go ahead and say a prayer for us, and then we'll get started with tonight.
Oh my gosh!
All right, get it together, boy.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting all of us get together for youth. I thank you for Zach and whatever he's got for us. Thank you for allowing me and Mom to be here. Thank you for allowing everyone to be here. And let us enjoy our time tonight and just sing
a prayer.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Turn over to 70, number 70. 7 times 10. Holy, 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 holy. Now, don't forget why we sing, guys. Don't forget what this time is for. So, we love spending time talking about ourselves and what happened in our world and stuff like that. Now we're transitioning from us to the Lord, all right?
We want Jesus Christ to have the preeminence here tonight. So you can choose how you're used to do that. You can get your heart right. You can get your mind focused where it needs to be focused. Or you can look for any little distraction to distract from the Holy Spirit of God working on people's hearts. And you can let the devil use you in that manner. Each one of us has free will. We're not in heaven yet. We're not in hell. We still have a choice. So you right now, like the Bible said over there in Joshua 24:15, choose this day who you will serve. So here we go. Holy, 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 number 70, verse 1.
Holy, holy, holy.
Actually, turn to 62. Crown him with many crowns. Verse 1. Here we go.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him. For those he came. life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given, from yonder glorious throne to thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified.
All right, now one page over 63. Take the name of Jesus with you. It's a good song here. Here we go. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it in wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Jesus ever has a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. His precious name, yes, it's sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy.
When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues implore.
Precious
name, yes, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. The hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. God's precious name, yes, it's sweet. The hope of earth.
Channels only again. 160. We hit this thing about 3 weeks in a row now. It's still not getting old me. 160. So I was telling Drake at work today. I thought there is no name so sweet on earth. It's gonna be like my favorite song, my new favorite. And then it moved to Jesus, lover of my soul, and everything like that. But then this one stuck in the back door on me, so this is like my new favorite now. So if you guys are getting tired of it, sorry. Before we start singing this, look at this chorus real quick. I want to ask you guys a question. We've talked several times about what a channel is, all right? It's a pathway for something to flow through. Your television channel, I don't know. I guess that's a pathway for some type of reception to go through. But like when you have the English channel, it's a water pathway, okay? So we want to be a pathway for the Holy Spirit. But check this out. Look at the chorus. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us. Look how often he wants to do it, guys. Every day and every hour. Every day, God's got something that he's trying to accomplish through your life. But it's not just every day, but every hour. Now, here's my question to you. Are you a channel or are you a dam? All right? Are you a channel or are you a dam? Are you blocking the Holy Spirit of God? When he looks at you, does he say, that's my channel, that's my channel? Or he points out one of you and says, damn. All right, I'm not cussing here, but you know, it's funny when you think about that. Even all the cuss words, they took something that was positive and they perverted it, right? it's not really a cuss word, but something we don't say in public today, like fag or something like that. Like, what was that? What was it?
A cigarette in England,
all right? Yeah, or a bundle of sticks that was burned or something like that. Gay, what was that?
Happy,
all right? And now it all goes to something perverted. All right, damn, where did that come from? Damnation. Well, it's damnation.
Oh.
Condemnation, right? So hell or something like that. But yeah, even the word damn, like I use it, D-A-M. Absolutely, but it's funny because it works. You know what? That's something that stops the flow of water. Are you someone that stops the flow of the Holy Spirit of God? You're saved and he can't do nothing through you. You're a dam. You block him. Or are you a channel? All right? So just some good stuff to kind of ponder on while we're going through this. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Man, this is a good song here. Here we go. Verse 1. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who boughtest to possess me in thy fullness, Lord, amen. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and
hold that course again.
Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, he's flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. 255, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Here we go. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchase of God. I'm born of his Spirit, washed in his blood.
This is my story.
This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. My song, all
praising my Savior all the day long.
Are you submitted to him?
Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above.
Those echoes of mercy,
yeah. Echoes of mercy. Love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.
my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
You guys got one? I'm looking for our next one.
I gave my life for
thee. Oh, I gave my life. Was that 363 or something?
What was it?
Nope.
I gave my life.
I was dead.
Not 360 something. It's in the threes.
375.
There we go. All right, here we go. This will be good today. Our lesson has to do with this song.
Praise the Lord.
Here we go. 375. I gave my life for thee. Here we go.
I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne. I have for earthly not, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me?
Given up anything for Jesus Christ?
I left it all for thee. Hast thou left all for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell. A bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I bore it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I bore it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full.
Amen.
And free.
All my pardon.
My pardon and my love. What hast thou brought to me? I bring riches to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
Good question. 352. Jesus, lover of my soul. Another favorite here. Here we go. I'm trying to drag this one this time. Verse 1.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past.
still support and comfort.
Where's your trust tonight?
All my trust on thee is set. All my help from thee I bring.
Oh,
cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing.
Thou, O Christ, art all I want.
Thou, O Christ, art all.
Say something, all right? Because you're not going to stop serving the Lord. Zach, stop serving the Lord, are you? What happens if I get backslidden and choose to leave church, go out to the world? Y'all just going to stop singing, stop praising, stop praying, stop preaching? So I'm trusting that you guys have just been respectful because you thought I was about to open my mouth up and say something again. So let's do verse number 3 again. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. Make that your prayer. I'm not there. You know what? I wish the Bible was my favorite book in the world. It's not. I wish the Bible was the number one thing that I care about. It's not. I wish witnessing the people was the number one thing. I wish Jesus Christ and spending time with him was what I care about the most. But it's not. But why not pray that right now? Get your heart right. Isn't that the first step in getting something together? Understanding how bad you are? All right? Amen. So while we're singing these convicting hymns, Thou, O Christ, art all I want, if it's not, why not get it right now? All right, let's get it right. Here we go.
Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind.
He's just.
Just and holy.
To 414. A good question to ask here. 4:14. Here we go. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Or shall I fear
to own his cause,
or
blush to speak?
Verse 1 again. Am I a soldier?
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through blood?
Verse 2 again. Must I be carried?
Must I be carried to the skies on
flowery beds of
ease, while others fought
to win the prize
or sail through blood? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stand the flood? Is this my world of friends to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil and or the pain, supported by thy word.
Go ahead and take a seat, guys. Go ahead and sit on down.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hand, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. His dying crimson like a robe spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me.
Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Tonight, I want to talk about our roots a little bit. I want to talk about our heritage. I want to talk about the stuff in the world that people fall back on for encouragement, motivation, for purpose. Depending on what your culture is, there's certain things that you're proud about. That are associated with that group, certain associations with the family name and stuff like that. that guy's a Jefferson, or that guy's a Sanders, that guy's a James, or something like that. And that family does it this way. Well, I want to talk about the Christian heritage tonight and share a story with you all that hopefully will give us a good perspective on what family we joined when we got saved. But this thought came when I was reading through Proverbs chapter 2. How many of you guys read like a Proverbs a day or do something like that? So, Devin, Anna, some of you, it's not like you're not spiritual for not doing that. I'm just wondering like what your routines are. I've always done that. That's always just been, honestly for me, I always hated reading. And it was an easy way just to hold myself accountable to getting something done in the book for the Lord until my appetite grew more. All right, so Proverbs chapter 2, watch this. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures," here's the promise, "then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." So God does not want to be a mystical being out there that no one can approach to, no one can understand, no one can find knowledge on. He says right here, you can get it, but you have to want it. It says, if you cry after knowledge, have you guys desired your Bible so much that you've had tears over it? Lord, why can't I understand this? Why doesn't this make sense to me? Why won't you open up my eyes that I may behold these wondrous things out of thy law and make it plain to me, Lord? If thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, have you cried out to God and prayed, Lord, help me? You know, some of this stuff you might think is just spiritual, you know, language and stuff like that. Why not try it, guys? I don't know what each and every one of you individual kids in here is struggling with in your life. But I do know that there is a deliverer, there's a helper, there's a healer, there's a God that can answer whatever prayer you have. The Bible says if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Oftentimes, God won't answer our prayer, though, because we're not really that serious about it. It's kind of like one of those things we're doing because right now is a spiritual time we're supposed to pray, or it's lifeline time we're supposed to give prayer requests or something like that. When you guys want God to help you, when you want him to answer your prayers the same way that you guys want to eat sometimes, you want your parents to buy you something that you're really interested in or something like that, or to give you permission to go somewhere, guys, he'll do it. It's just all about what you're putting into it. But then he says, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Verse 6. "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." Oh, this is something I have personal experience with and a personal testimony on. "He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." You say, well, what are you doing? You're bragging, saying you always walk uprightly? Nope. But when I have, especially at a young age, when God gave me good parents to teach me about living right and doing the right things, I could physically see the difference of God's hand in my life compared to my friends walking down the same halls as me. Guess what? Sometimes I would slip up and do the same stupid stuff as my friends, and I would get away with it. Not because I lied, but for whatever reason, the adults didn't come down on me as hard. You say, well, what is that all about? He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. What's a buckler, Zach? It's not a belt buckle. It means it's a shield. God is blocking you. He's protecting you. He's keeping you from some of the other stuff that's befallen everyone else while they're going through it. Awesome promise there. And I can testify to that. What we're going to talk about today is from verse 8. It says this, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." So right now it might look like the world is losing judgment. We're calling a lot of stuff that's wrong, we're calling it good. All right, we're calling men women and women men and stuff like that. A lot of things that before wouldn't have flown, you know, in culture and society and stuff like that are becoming societal norms. All right? And it might look like we've lost the path of judgment. Well, that's what our faith is all about. That's what this book is all about, preserving those paths of judgment. And not only does God preserve those paths of judgment for us in the Bible, where when we read the Bible, we get to see what he believes and what he thinks, and that's how we learn what's right and what's wrong. But watch this. It's not just a book that preserves it, but watch this, and preserveth the way of his saints. It's God's people that help preserve that way. His saints. That's to be you and I if you're born again tonight. Are you a part of that process of helping God preserve what he cares about? Give the world a light that they can see, a light that shines in dark places. You know, I want to talk to you guys about heritage tonight, and I want to talk about some of these saints. Back when we were doing the lesson on the crown of life, I touched very quickly on how part of that crown of life you can get not just for resisting sin right now, but for dying for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, if you, endure to the death for Jesus Christ, you can get saved. How many of you guys heard about the Columbine shooting, the mass shooting that took place at Columbine High School? None of you kids? So some of you kids have heard about that. All right, I'm like outdating myself now, man. That was like big news back then. So it was like one of the first major mass shootings up in Colorado, Columbine, Colorado, I think.
1999.
Hmm.
That might be.
I mean, yeah. You guys have heard it. Wait, what? Okay. Wait, what happened?
I said, I guess they did cut social studies out of school.
They sure did cut it out, man. They don't want you guys knowing about that.
Well, no.
It was 22 years ago.
23
years ago.
Like, I mean, they still have, like, social studies classes. Like, I'm an American
in middle school.
I didn't know how big it was. I figured they would tie it in with all the school shootings and stuff like that. How many of you guys had, like, that, what the heck did they do one time? It was, like, about gun control, and they wanted students to walk out and sit on the football field or something.
Shooter drills?
Oh,
no. Silence. Didn't you guys have, like,
doing a minute of silence?
Yeah. Didn't you guys, and then, like, some people go out and lay on the football field at some time or something like that?
For, like, an hour?
Yeah. Okay. So, that is like in the same line. Like, this was like the first thing that kind of started all that stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. So these mass shootings in schools and stuff like that. So a lot of different theories behind that and why. We're not getting into that tonight. But the whole idea is, just like that whole Columbine story was really popular. There was a girl, and I forget her name right now. I should have looked that up. But one of the killers, I think his name is Dylan Ruth. Somehow they got the report that there was this girl that was there. And while he was going around shooting people and slaying them, he got to her and he pointed the gun at her and he asked her if she was a Christian or does she believe in God? And she said yes or whatnot. And so then he blew her brains out. All right. So you say, well, what are you bringing that thing up for? That kind of comes down to it. Like, that girl right there, without a shadow of a doubt, because she professed Jesus Christ unto death, got a crown of life. Like I said, we probably won't have to deal with that much yet. Maybe we're getting there in America. We haven't had to. Most of the Christians that I've known that have lived and died haven't had to be persecuted like that. They probably didn't get that crown for that reason. But the times we're going into are, like Pastor Bob always says, history repeats itself. You know, and over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, at the end of the church age, when Paul's talking to Timothy here, he gives him a heads up. You don't have to turn there, but it says this. It says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. All right? So if perilous times are coming in the last days, and we're supposed to be the church that gets raptured out of here, guys, at some point in time, the switch is going to flip against us. And you might already start to, you know, see those things developing. In this same chapter, you find that famous verse, verse 12. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All right, up to this point, pastors are still kind of praised. But a switch is going to have to flip at some point in time in this country where they're no longer praised. I've been taking some time kind of hanging out with my kids, especially like on Saturday morning, and we do like a little devotion. And believe it or not, there's a story out of here that Brady really likes. All right, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Bryn is not about this right now. I start reading the story, she start crying, and she ran out of there. Like, literally, she went to run to Jenny to wake her up. What I want to do, though, tonight is give you guys a taste of your heritage. And what it's going to do is going to do this. For those of you that are about giving your life to Jesus Christ, it's going to fire you up and, you know, convict you and just fire you up to move forward with the Lord. For those of you who aren't, it's going to show you just how far off you are while you think you're really doing something for God. And that's good for you. I know, like, everything that you guys do in school nowadays is all about coddling you and, you know, telling you how good you are and stuff like that. That's not going to help you. That's not going to get you better. Anybody in here that's ever built muscle, lost weight, gotten better at something in life knows that you had to go through pain to get it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can suck it up when your youth pastor is giving you some truth from the Word of God, right? Okay. I mean, unless God doesn't have the same liberty in your life like your coaches do. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or your boss. Or your friends to call you out and stuff. It's funny how we give God this, you know, this special dispensation that he can only be nice to us, otherwise we won't listen to him. Amen. We'll see how long that lasts, right, when you get up there to the judgment of Christ, right? So, I want to encourage you guys, this is a great book for you guys to get into. It does nothing but give me perspective over and over and over again of just how worthless I am. And how I, you know, look at myself as some, you know, good Christian because I'm attending church or working on sermons or trying to pray for people and stuff like that. But what I want you to do is put yourself in the place of these Christians in here when you hear about this, when you hear about what I'm going to read to you tonight, and ask yourself, could I do the same thing? Could I say the same things? And don't give yourself that crappy little excuse, well, I'm in America in 2022 and you have the same Holy Spirit of God inside of you that they did. Are you a channel? Or are you a dam? That's the question you got to ask yourself. That's what hit me smack dab in the face. Because I did. I used to justify it. Like, well, of course, well, they're back in the dark ages. They didn't have all the entertainment that I've, you know, desensitized myself with. And I've gotten jaded by so many different. You have the same Holy Spirit of God inside of you, Zach, that they have. And if not, you're calling God a liar. All right? So the story is called Romanus and the Child. Well, that's the name I gave to it. And Brady likes it because it's about a 7-year-old boy. Yeah. And as goofy as that kid is, I mean, you guys, the moment that class ends, you'll just step out of here and just observe him for at least 10 seconds. And you'll see how goofy he is, okay? But it's cool because that's what I'm saying. No matter how goofy you are, no matter where you're at in life, if you're listening to what God's trying to show you, you can get some conviction from this stuff and, you know, have some desire to change. So I'm not saying that Brady's going to go out and become a martyr or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, even he at 7 years old could relate to this and realize that, wow, what I think Christianity is, what I think is important in life, really isn't quite there yet. Right? So here's a good attitude check. Here's a good come to Jesus for us all. Make sure I get going here. All right. Getting a little cotton mouth here thinking about this. So, now the language is a little old. I'm going to try to slow it down and describe some stuff to you just so I don't lose anybody. But those of you that like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter's a little bit more modern. I was going to say, those of you that like those old Shakespearean, Jane Austen, stuff like that, you'll be right with me here. So here we go. The writer says this: now from England to return unto other countries where persecution did more vehemently rage. All right, here we go. Pitiless Galerius, with his grand prefect, Asclepiades, invaded the city of Antioch, intending by force of arms to drive all Christians to renounce utterly their pure religion. Why is Antioch important in the Bible? Who can tell me? Antioch. Anybody ever heard that name Antioch before? Ethan, what'd you hear about Antioch?
It
is a story in the Bible. Macy, what'd you hear about Antioch?
Isn't it the model church or something?
Beautiful. Acts 11:26 says they were first called Christians in Antioch. Okay? And what you learn, what the Bible is used for, it's not just obvious right and wrong, but the Bible sets patterns for us. And it gives us definitions of words. And when you find that word Antioch, it's set into motion. What you want to see is what happens around there. You find that's where the Christians were first called Christians. It was right there in Antioch. And all throughout the book of Acts, every time you find that word, it's going to be used in a positive light. Okay? Because God wants to show you, hey, I'm about Antioch. That's my church. Those are my people. I'm going to support them. Okay? And so he talks highly of Antioch. And here we are, a couple of years later, after these martyrs and apostles die, you got Antioch and Christians showing up there. All right, says this: Pitiless Galerius, with his grand prefect Asclepiades, invaded the city of Antioch, intending by force of arms to drive all Christians, to renounce and utterly their pure religion. So when they were called Christians, that was actually a mean name that they were calling them. Christian means little Christ. And they were making fun of them because the Romans had all these hundreds of gods, and the Christians said, we only have one true God that we believe in. And so they cracked up at it. They're like, well, Christianity then must be the poor man's religion. And if not the poor man's religion, the dumb man's religion. You're too stupid. Your intellect isn't high enough to keep up with all of the gods, so you had to find one God and stick to that. I want you guys to know this. The devil has always called God's people by names to discourage them. Nowadays, you might hear names like you're a fanatic or you're acting too charismatic. There's true charismatics, and then there's the people that are acting too charismatic. They'll say that you're in a cult. They'll say that you're a goody two-shoes. Now, I don't understand that name, goody two-shoes. Like, what is that? They're like a poor community where everybody had one shoe and some dude showed up one day with two, and they're like, oh, you're too good for us now, huh? You know, I don't get the goody two-shoes. We'll look it up later on. Another thing at the end of this little first opening line, he says they were coming to drive all the Christians to renounce utterly their pure religion. Their pure religion. You know, the world doesn't mind an inclusive religion. It doesn't mind a flawed, easily dismissible religion. It doesn't mind a fluid religion that accepts everyone and changes with the times. But it can't stand a pure religion that has standards. All right? And you say, well, it's not about religion, is it? No, not in the sense that the world uses it as like a way to do works to get to heaven, no. But there is a practice in your life to where you're dedicating yourself to God. Remember that song we sung, Holy, 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 Holy? Well, the Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. We're supposed to be like the Lord in that sense. Let me ask you a question. How do you know if your religion is pure or not? And what you're going to find out is by what can stop it. Listen to the rest of this. Intending by force of pure religion. And watch what it says. The Christians were at that time congregated together, to whom one Romanus hastily ran, declaring that the wolves were at hand, which would devour the Christian flock. But fear not, said he, neither let this imminent peril disturb you, my brethren. Brought was it to pass by the great grace of God working in Romanus, that old men and matrons, fathers and mothers, young men and maidens, were all of one will and mind, most ready to shed their blood in defense of their Christian profession. So this captain or this grand prefect named Asclepiades, he storms into Antioch and he says, by force, we're going to make these guys give up this stupid religion. We're sick and tired of hearing about it. But right here we see they were all of one will and one mind, most ready to shed their blood in defense of their Christian profession. My question to you was, how do you know if you have a pure religion? And the answer is by what can stop it. What can stop your faith? What can hold you up? Carnal weapons will stop a carnal faith. They said they're going to storm Antioch and by force, with swords and spears and shields and stuff like that, force the Christians to quit being Christians. Did it work? No. Why? Because you can't stop something spiritual with something carnal. Can you guys take a gun if a ghost comes into your house and blow it away? No, it goes right through the ghost, right? Okay? So what's your religion? Is your religion spiritual or is it carnal? If it's carnal, it will be stopped by the circumstances and the physical things in this world, guys. So you have to ask yourself, what is it that keeps me from serving Jesus Christ? Is it a bunch of carnal things that happen in my day when my day goes rough, when things don't go my way, when I don't have physical things? Does that stop your spirituality? You've got a carnal religion. But if the physical circumstances don't have an effect on it, and you're able to have a peace that passes all understanding in spite of your circumstances, you've got something spiritual there. See that? Let's keep looking at these guys. Word was brought unto the prefect that the band of armed soldiers was not able to rest the staff of faith. They didn't have a physical staff, it was a staff of faith. Was not able to wrest the staff of faith out of the hand of the armed congregation. And all by reason that Romanus so mightily did encourage them, that they stuck not to offer their naked throats, wishing gloriously to die for the name of their Christ. Seek out that rebel, quoth the prefect, and bring him to me, that he may answer for the whole sect. Apprehended he was, and bound as a sheep appointed to the slaughterhouse, was presented to the emperor, who, with wrathful countenance, beholding him, said, what? Art thou the author of this sedition? Art thou the cause why so many shall lose their lives? By the gods, I swear thou shalt smart for it. And first in thy flesh shalt thou suffer the pains whereunto thou hast encouraged the hearts of thy fellows. Now watch this martyr's response. Romanus answered, "Thy sentence, O prefect, I joyfully embrace. I refuse not to be sacrificed for my brethren, and that by as cruel means as thou mayest invent. And whereas thy soldiers were repelled from the Christian congregation, that so happened because it lay not in idolaters and worshippers of devils to enter into the holy house of God and to pollute the place of true prayer." Wow. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. When he heard that he's going to get tortured to death, he said, "Thy sentence, O prefect, I joyfully embrace." You know what the Bible says? The Bible says over there in James chapter 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It says in Philippians 2, 4, "Look not every man upon his own things, but also every man on the things of others. Let each esteem others better than themselves." How are you doing? If someone threatened your life, is that what you would say? "Thy sentence, O prefect, I joyfully embrace." Let's move on. Then Asclepiades, wholly inflamed with this stout answer, commanded him to be trussed up and his bowels drawn out. So they said, "Tie him up, hoist him in the air." And I guess it was something where they cut your stomach and it made all your guts fall out. And you died like that. But there was something else they had planned for him. Watch this. The executioners themselves, more pitiful at heart than the prefect, said, "Not so, sir. This man is of noble parentage. Unlawful it is to put a nobleman to so unnoble a death." "Scourge him with whips," quoth the prefect, "with naps of lead at the ends." So the executioners heard what the captain, the emperor, told them to do, and they said, "We can't do it. This guy's of a rich family, a nobleman. See that? He comes from good money. It's not right for a man that has such status in society to be put to death in such an awful manner." And so the emperor said, "All right, then go get some leather whips, strap some lead to the end of those things, some sharp pieces of lead, and whip him like that." Now watch what happens here. Instead of tears, sighs, and groans, Romanus sang psalms all the time of his whipping, requiring them not to favor him for his nobility's sake. "Not the blood of my progenitors," said he, "but Christian profession maketh me noble." You know, I can really relate to that. And this is why. All my life, you know what happened? You know when I was born, guys? 1988. That's when that NASA jacket probably came out. That looks like the 1988 version of it. Back when they sent the Challenger up. All right? Check this out. What'd you say?
Younger than Mara?
Yeah, do I look older than you? Okay, no, we're not going to go there. All right, yes.
Sorry.
Yes, I am. So check it out. 1988. You know what happened that was so cool in my family in 1988? We had a family member win the Heisman Trophy and then go to the NFL as the number 3 draft pick. And actually, he set history because he was the first player in college football not to complete college to leave early and declare for the draft and get drafted. And it's funny because that whole aura around that year that I was born is almost something I feel like I've lived in ever since then. All right? So my uncle was in the NFL. We got to go to all these games and have all this special access and special whatever you want to call it. All right? So it's almost like we had a nobility around us. I remember that going to the stadium after the games, and they had all the people behind the line over here at the fans, but we would always cross the line and go right up in with the players wherever they went and stuff like that. It was a special nobility. Because of the name I carried and how popular he was at the time, they would say, "Oh my gosh, man." You know, we'd be like little kids outside on the playground, and we'd have teachers that knew about it. And I would do some of the simplest stuff that wasn't even that impressive, but they would say, "Well, you know whose nephew that is, right?" There's a special nobility with that name. I remember getting older, and then we'd be doing something. Even my band teacher one time, we'd be going on like competitions. We would go to UCM, CMSU. There was a competition for band we used to have it all the time. They couldn't care less sometimes about what type of music we were playing or something like that. You know what they couldn't wait to tell me? Hey, you know who this person is, who they're related to? A nobility. So all my life, I've known about that special access, special privilege, nobility stuff that this guy right here is talking about. You know why I like it so much? Look at his answer. Not the blood of my progenitors, but my Christian profession maketh me noble. And back in his day, that meant more. See, nowadays, we have this American dream thing, where no matter where you start out, you live in a country that's cool enough that if you work hard enough, you get the right opportunities, but you can end up being one of the richest people no matter where you start. Back in his day, it wasn't like that. If you had money, it's because you were born into it. It was old money. It was money that had been passed down from generation to generation. And there was a caste system and there are hierarchies. And it wasn't like the little serf guy gets to make a cool invention and then all of a sudden get accepted in with the nobles. So you know what this guy did? He traded his birthright, his nobility, for the name of Jesus Christ. That makes him even more special to me. Not the blood of my progenitors, said he, but Christian profession maketh me noble. What do you guys feel makes you special? Maybe it's your hair. Maybe you think you're just a little bit more witty and smart than most other people. Maybe you think it's your looks. Maybe you think it's the money you were born into with your family. Maybe you think it's your athleticism. Now, I want you to think about that, because you know right now you're not thinking what makes you special. The reason why you have a special place in this world is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's on you, is it? What are you counting on in life to get you through? What do you think makes you special? What's the number one thing you try to present to other people so that they can look at you favorably? Think about that. This guy gave it all up and said, no, no, no. Not the blood of my progenitors, not my money, not my name. Whatever death you want me to die by, do it, because the most precious thing to me is the blood of my Savior. He traded it all for that. I love this guy, Romanus. The wholesome words of the martyr were as oil to the fire, the prefect's fury. So the emperor heard this and he just gets lit. He's like, what is up with this guy? The more the martyr spake, the madder was he. Insomuch that he commanded the martyr's sides to be lanced with knives until the bones appeared white again. Yeah. The second time Romanus preached, the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, his well-beloved Son, and eternal life through faith in his blood, Asclepius commanded the tormentors to strike Romanus on the mouth, that his teeth being stricken out, his pronunciation at leastwise might be impaired. So he's like, I can't get this guy to shut up by torturing him, so punch out his teeth. And so he had the executioners punch him in the face until all his teeth came out. What was his goal? Hopefully, at least, now we won't be able to understand what he's saying. Dude, I would have given up a long time ago. He's got the same Holy Spirit that I've got. I must be a dam and not a channel. The commandment was obeyed, his face buffeted, his eyelids torn with their nails, his cheeks scotched with knives. The skin of his beard was plucked by little and little from the flesh. Finally, his seemly face was wholly defaced. The meek martyr said, once again, I thank thee, O prefect, that thou hast opened unto me many mouths, whereby I may preach my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look how many wounds I have. So many mouths I have lauding and praising God. How do you look at the tough things that you come across in life? Are those opportunities to praise God through it? Or to give God glory out of those things? Or are those opportunities for you to play the victim? Why me, Lord? Why didn't so-and-so go through the same stuff as me? Why are you doing this? See? We say God's been better to us than we deserve, but the moment something goes wrong, we complain about it. Something's got to give somewhere. The prefect, astonished with this singular constancy, commanded them to cease from tortures. He threateneth cruel fire. He reviled the noble martyr. He blasphemeth God, saying, thy crucified Christ is but a yesterday's God. The gods of the Gentiles are of most antiquity. Here again, Romanus, taking good occasion, made a long oration of the eternity of Christ, of his human nature, of the death and satisfaction of Christ for all mankind. Which done, he said, "Give me a child, O prefect, but 7 years of age, which age is free from malice and other vices wherewith riper age is commonly infected, and thou shalt hear what he will say." His request was granted. So this martyr's up here dying, and he says, "Listen, you might think it's just me and I'm brainwashed as an adult. Give me a 7-year-old child out of the crowd and bring him here." I don't know if the Lord inspired this boy, if this boy was just already saved and was just a hardcore Christian. But listen to what this little boy says. I know they're done. If you guys got to leave, head out of here. But I'm going to finish the story. A little boy was called out of the multitude and set before him. "Tell me, my babe," quoth the martyr, "whether you think it reason that we should worship one Christ and in Christ one Father, or else we worship many gods." Unto whom the babe answered, "That certainly, whatsoever it be, which men affirm to be God, must needs be one, and that which pertains to that one is unique. And inasmuch as Christ is unique, of necessity, Christ must be the true God. For that there be many gods, we children cannot believe." 7-year-old boy. The prefect, hereat, clean amazed, said, "Thou young villain and traitor, where and of whom learnest thou this lesson?" "Of my mother," quoth the child, "with whose milk I sucked in this lesson, that I must believe in Christ." The mother was called, and she gladly appeared. The prefect commanded the child to be hoisted up and scourged. The pitiful beholders of this pitiless act could not temper themselves from tears. The joyful and glad mother alone stood by with dry cheeks. I was going to say a lot about that, but we don't have time to. "Yea, she rebuked her sweet babe for craving a draught of cold water. She charged him to thirst after the cup that the infants of Bethlehem once drank of. Forgetting their mother's milk and paps, she willed him to remember little Isaac, who beholding the sword wherewith and the altar thereon, he should be sacrificed, willingly proffered his tender neck to the dint of his father's sword. Whilst this counsel was in giving, the butcherly tormentor plucked the skin from the crown of his head, hair and all. The mother cried, 'Suffer, my child. Anon, thou shalt pass to him that will adorn thy naked head with the crown of eternal glory.' The mother counseleth, the child is counseled. The mother encourageth, the babe is encouraged, and receiveth the stripes with smiling countenance." Last thing I'll read here. Maybe we'll come back and touch on this, but I have to skip over this to get you guys out of here. Finally, this kid's getting ready to get executed. And watch what happens here. "When they were come to the place, the tormentors required the child of the mother, for she had taken it up in her arms, and she, only kissing it, delivered the babe. 'Farewell,' she said, 'my sweet child, and when thou hast entered the kingdom of Christ, there in thy blessed estate remember thy mother.' And as the hangman applied his sword to the babe's neck, she sang on this manner: 'Oh Lord, in praise with heart and voice, O Lord, we yield to thee, to whom the death of this thy saint we know most dear to be.'" Those are those old Christians, man. That's the heritage that you guys were born into. That's what we're a part of. That's what we're going to be living with for all eternity. Check yourself. Examine yourself. Get it right while you still can. Don't wait till you get up there to get slapped in the face with such a revelation. Lord, thank you for tonight. Please take what was said. Let it sow a seed in them, Lord, to do better for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.